Welcome to Ray and Kay. Today is Monday. Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. You're listening to Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray, that's Tall Rayside.
And I am Tay Eric Taylor. Let the beat come, because March is marching in. We are hyped. Ray's going to break it down for you, but let me tell you, you want to join us, we're rocking a little early today. You want to hit us up live at 718-664-9098. Also, please, maybe we'll get to an email today. We got them backing up, Ray. But hit us up at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Check out our website at rayandtaytoday.com. You know, we're crazy interactive. We got the polls, the photos, everything. Hot topics, spring training news, mock drafts. So check out our website. Also, follow us on Twitter, man. Tweet at us. You know, we've been tweeting with Mike Hill, tweeting with Jay Billis, Jason Williams from ESPN. We're having a lot of fun. Be active with us on Twitter, man. Definitely, definitely. So that's RAEANDTAYTODAY at Twitter and at Facebook. So Ray, what's going on, man? We got a busy show.
Yeah, we do. We got a lot to talk about. We need to jump right into it. But we're going to go through our breaking news in the sports world. We'll talk a little bit about what's going on in NASCAR and golf and the WBC, folks fighting. Then we've got NFL free agency. So it's about to get very crazy out there in the world of free agency for football players. We're then going to transition to the NCAA March Madness. We got a few teams, that have punched their ticket. And this week is a big week. Obviously, you got the bigger conference tournaments. So, obviously, you got the Big Six, and you've got other tournaments that are going to determine seeding. Some bubbles will be burst, and some people will make it, and some people will move up and down on the seeding line, so it'll be a very, very crazy week. We'll have a lot to talk about today. We'll also have a lot to talk about on Friday. Then we have our quick run through the NBA. We'll be quick because we've got a lot of other stuff this show.
In
we'll
a
talk
row.
About the
Woo.
Yeah, the Heat winning 18 in a row. We'll talk about our Knicks and Amari and OKC, D Rose, the Lakers. Real quick, we'll blow through that, and then we'll bring back one of our most favorite segments, Champs and Chumps of the Weekend, where Ray and Tay will give you two champs and two chumps from this past weekend. People that did yeoman's work and people that were yeoman disappointing. So, without further ado, let's get into it. Let's start with some breaking news. What's going on out there?
Man, listen. For me, I guess I need to just say, I just saw this dunk. DeAndre Jordan, what he did
wow.
to Brandon Knight is ridiculous. And it was all over Twitter, all over everywhere, ESPN. And this is kind of breaking news. Blake Griffin, who has been dunking like crazy, is like, hey, it's the best dunk I ever saw. So I just had to throw that out there. It's breaking, it's trending, and it's hot right now, man. That was
yeah,
a crazy
you never
dunk
see a
Brandon
center
Knight.
Do that. I mean, that's an athletic move that usually you see from a guard or a forward. And he had Brandon Knight, who, if you look at where Brandon Knight was, he was in perfect position, and he was up high. It wasn't like he wasn't there challenging the shot, but DeAndre Jordan was just, his whole body was above the box, and he just, if you didn't see it, go see it, whether it's on YouTube or wherever, or watch SportsCenter or whatever sports outlet you have. Watch this dunk by DeAndre Jordan. Wow.
Yeah. So tell him, what's going on in golf, man? My man El Tigre is back.
So Tiger is back. He won his 76th, count it, 76th PGA tournament event. He won at Doral. they're calling it the WGC Cadillac Championship. All these names are killing me, but it's
the
at Cadillac
Durant. Cadillac player? Does he get a Cadillac?
I'm sure he does. But then again, when you make the amount of money that Tiger makes, what's one more caddy going to do for you? Exactly. Tiger can buy the sponsor's caddies. But anyway, yeah, so Tiger wins, looking good. I mean, these are all really getting everybody ready for the first major of the year at Augusta. So people are getting tuned up for the Masters. So that's Tiger. And then in the world of racing, in NASCAR, Matt Kenseth, who now races for Joe Gibbs Racing. Yeah, on his 41st birthday,
Gibbs,
wins
folks,
in Las Vegas.
The Redskins coach, Joe Gibbs, let him know.
And we were just talking about that. So Joe Gibbs from football has Joe Gibbs Racing. And then our boy, Brad Daugherty, from basketball fame,
the
North Carolina, the Cavs, you know, that draft day trade with the Sixers. He could have been a Sixer playing with, you know, Moses and or Doc and Barkley. But instead, he goes to the Cavs and almost writes history with the Cavs. It won for Jordan. They might have won an Eastern Conference title. But he's also in NASCAR. So how great is that to see these people having crossover success? You know, Gibbs from the NFL and Brad Daugherty from the NBA doing big things in
it's
racing.
It's good for Kenseth to win on his birthday, man, turning 41. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, so in the WBC, in your neck of the woods in Arizona, the U.S. beat Canada. But did you see the Canada-Mexico fight?
I did, and let me tell you, they're staying at the same hotel in Phoenix. I got a call late last night. They wanted me to come break some stuff up. Listen, it's kind of wild, man. I just want to say, look, I don't know if everybody knows the rules, and, you know, it's point differential, so, yeah, they're trying to get more runs. But in baseball law and in baseball rules, that's a reason to scrap. If you're up, what were they up, 9-3? Or they're
9-3
in
the ninth.
They're trying to move runners and get more runs. And if the players aren't aware, yeah, they're going to get a little hot. But you can't be fighting. I mean, come on. At the end of the day, it's like, come on, guys. Let's get it together. But listen, I think, you know, it might come down to, like, Dominican and Japan, because these teams are just ridiculous, man. It'll be interesting. I hope America can do well. I mean, obviously, we don't have our thoroughbreds in there, you know, with Verlander and our guy from the Yankees backing out. But, yeah, you know, it is what it is. So, but it should be fun. We'll see who wins. It looks like it's a nice trophy. It's, like, laced in diamonds from Tiffany's and, you know, all fancied up. Yeah. I saw it on the news, man, last night. It's, like, ridiculous. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. Listen, also, we got this whole stuff with Derrick Rose, and it seems like he's saying hamstring, you know, and I heard rumors, and I had said it on the show a while ago, that maybe, like, while he was dunking and practicing, he might have re-injured himself. But then some people say he's totally cleared, the doctors and his doctor, and that maybe it's just mental. Either way, they need D. Rose, man. They definitely need D. Rose. So we'll see.
You know
what
it is? I go back to Adrian Peterson, man. Maybe D. Rose is putting a lot of pressure on himself because he says, look, I am not 100%. I can get out there and play, but I'm not 100%. I'm not D. Rose. I'm not explosive. I'm not what I used to be, realistic, right? Yeah, and maybe he's saying to himself, look, I practice, and I'm not dominating in practice. I'm just another guy. And here's a guy that, you know, I don't want to diss his game, but here's a guy that relies so much on his athletic ability. He's not Ray Allen, where even if his legs are giving out or if he's, you know, he's not in great shape, he can still sit behind the three-point line and, you know, hit those threes. I mean, this is a guy that relies on his athletic ability, on defense, on offense, his explosiveness. He's not a pure shooter. He's not a great, you know, pure offensive player. What he does is he's more athletic than you are. And that's a lot of his game. So maybe he's feeling like, I don't have that advantage, so let me wait till I do.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, you know, I think it's all personal for somebody, and we'll just have to wait and see. But one real quick, before we get into the NFL free agency stuff, finally, the Utah Jazz waived, officially, Rajah Bell. So now Raja can maybe get picked up by a team for the playoff run and sign with somebody because, you know, a lot of teams have been looking at him, but he still was with the Jazz even though he wasn't playing with them. Kind of weird. So
wasn't he in studio at ESPN?
Dude,
recording segments
just,
and everything?
They just hadn't waived him. They just had not waived him. So I think it's kind of bizarre. But speaking in the world of bizarre, we've got, I mean, you know, from Darrell Revis stuff, where it's looking like the Eagles are trying to jump in. Tony Gonzalez looks like he may return to the Falcons. Now we got reports, Ray, and we'll talk about what happened.
Joe Montana coming
with
back?
Some of the guys. Some of these guys cut. No. That our man Percy Harvin from the Gators. Shout out to Gator Nation. That Percy Harvin might get traded for some picks to Seattle. How nice would the Seahawks be, Ray, with Percy Harvin?
Wow, what is this, Minnesota West? They have, you know, a couple years ago, they're picking up all the Minnesota receivers, right? They picked up Sidney Rice a couple years ago, and now they got Percy Harvin. Look, Percy Harvin is fantastic. He's a special player. The problem is, A, he's small, and B, he has those migraine headaches that, you know, can pop up at any time. So when he's on the field, look, first half of the season, even though Adrian Peterson won the MVP, you could argue Adrian Peterson wasn't even MVP of his own team in the first half of the season, and that was Percy Harvin. Percy Harvin was really special the first eight or nine games of the season before he got hurt. So when he's healthy and when he's on the field, he's a difference maker.
Yeah. No. He's definitely it's ridiculous. And listen, I'm a little emotional. I mean, well, first of all, we got to say, look, Cullen Jenkins signed with the Giants from the Eagles, so that's a good move for the Giants. They need some, you know, explosiveness, especially since they let go of Chris Canty. But my Steelers, they cut James Harrison. And I had to give James some love, man. Man, I love Twitter, Ray. James Harrison retweeted my tweet because I shouted him out, and I said, thank you. Thank you for, you know, what you did for the Steelers. And, you know, I think the Steelers, they normally cut people at the right time. I think this one might be 1 year too early. I just think it's going to hurt us because we don't have anybody right now to really, really replace him. So I'm a little concerned about that. And then shout out to the Chiefs. You see what Andy Reid is doing? Getting Dante Robinson, the cornerback.
Yeah, he picked him from
really
Atlanta.
They're really improved. They are really improved, Ray.
It's up to a three-year deal. And you know who else is going to be a coveted free agent is Reggie Bush. So apparently he's not coming back to the Dolphins. That we know. We don't know where he'll end up. But he is one of those guys that, again, is a difference maker. If you need a playmaker, that's your guy. Now, the problem for him is, you know, he's not a guy you can give the ball 20, 25 times to. So you got to figure out the best 15 ways to get him the ball. What are your best 15 plays to get him the ball in space? I'm not sure you can rely on him as your A back, even though I give him credit. Last 2 years in Miami.
But they have LeSean, what is it, Mikal LeSure. They have, I think, a pretty solid
back there.
Oh,
you mean if he goes
there.
To Detroit? You got him going to Detroit?
Well, listen, they're really interested.
Well,
in
he's like a job at best type. Yeah.
He's much better. Don't even insult him. Reggie Bush proved he can run between the tackles. He can run between
He's
the
more
tackles.
Durable, and he can run inside the tackles. You're right. I give him credit. He's just slightly less durable or, you know, slightly smaller than what you'd want for your kind of everyday, every down back. But maybe if you team him up with Michael LeSure, that might be interesting. I would love to see Detroit get Steven Jackson, though. I'd love to see them get one guy
I want to see Steven go to Pittsburgh or the Giants. Because Steven, you know, and of course the Falcons are still in the mix, but he's not going back to St. Louis. And then you know what I'm just reading? The Dolphins. It looks like they're going to sign my guy, Mike Wallace. Wow. Now, does that make that makes them pretty explosive? But they're going to have to get a running back because they lost Reggie.
Yeah, and since they lost Brandon Marshall in two back-to-back seasons, you know, Brandon Marshall and Reggie Bush, they really don't have playmakers. I mean, they signed Brian Hartline to a three-year deal, but, you know, it's Brian Hartline. He's a solid receiver, but he doesn't really make plays. So if they were to get Mike Wallace to stretch the field, that's pretty impressive. And then if Daniel Thomas comes back and can run, then they look like they're
like
stabilizing
them.
Their offense with Tannehill.
But what about the offensive line? They need to draft somebody because they're losing.
Well, Jake Long,
So, listen, NFL free agency starts tomorrow, Tuesday, at 4 o'clock. We will, we will break it all down for you on Friday. You know, the first wave of signings will, you know, come down. We'll be on early Friday morning with that. And, it's definitely going to be something heavy-hitting and exciting. Speaking of heavy-hitting and exciting, are you ready to talk college basketball?
Well, I'm ready. The AC, right out of the oven, the AP Top 25 poll is out. So we are going to talk NCAA. Woo! March Madness. I just get chills. I get chills. And like I said last week, the only thing.
Begin.
The only thing better than NCAA Top 25 is, I don't know. I'm trying to think of if there's anything better, but I think this is the month. March is the month. March Madness, and let's just bring it on. I mean, we got a lot of games to talk about, but you know what? Let's weave it into the top 25. Let's go down the top 25, or at least the top 10. And like I said, fresh out of the oven, let's get into it. Let's talk about it, and let's see what this means for a week from yesterday, right? Selection Sunday is a week from in 6 days. So let's get it on. So, all right, let me read to you the top 25 right out of the oven. AP just put it out on the polls about 6 minutes ago. Number one with 54 first-place votes is Gonzaga. Number two with 11 first-place votes is Duke. Number three,
Ryan Kelly
in Indiana. So let's go through the top ten, and then we'll circle back. So number three is Indiana. Number four is Louisville. So Louisville, after having dropped a few a few weeks ago, jumps back up to four. Georgetown is now five.
Big East.
Michigan, who is fifth in the Big Ten, is number six in the nation. So in their tournament, they don't get the double bye. They have to play. they're fifth in their tournament, sixth in the conference. Fifth in the
and number one in your heart, go blue.
And number one in your heart, right? Exactly. Number one in Ramil Robinson's heart, for sure.
Yeah.
And then number seven is the Kansas Jayhawks. Number eight is the Michigan State Spartans. Number nine is the Miami of Florida Hurricanes. And number 10 is Ohio State.
Yeah, they beat Illinois yesterday.
Yep.
Indiana. And they had a great week.
They sure did.
And
the only interesting – so just going down the rest of the top 25, it's interesting to know K-State is 11, Marquette is 12. That's interesting. St. Louis, New Mexico is 15. Yep.
Florida
dropped to 13.
All the way to 13. Yikes.
Yep. New Mexico is 15. St. Louis is 16. So that's pretty interesting. Creighton is 23. Notre Dame, 24. VCU is 25.
And don't forget Pitt and Syracuse. Syracuse has dropped down all the way down to 19. We'll talk about that later on in the show about the Cuse. They are a mess. Pitt at 17. They're moving up.
Yeah, so what do you think? First of all, Gonzaga is number one. But if the season were to end today, do you believe that Gonzaga is a number one overall seed?
No, I think what you're seeing now, it's preparing to be after these tournaments, because Gonzaga is in the championship tonight, correct, in the WCC? So I think Gonzaga, Duke, Indiana, and if Louisville can – basically they're setting it up, they're showing you the Louisville-Georgetown winner of the Big East will get that fourth seed. And I think what's going to happen is it'll probably be Indiana, if they can hold on and win it, number one, Duke number two, Gonzaga three, and Louisville or Georgetown winner overall, number four of the four number ones. I got to give Georgetown a shot, though, man, because Otto Porter, when they beat Syracuse, and they put the smack down on Syracuse, but Otto Porter – he let the game just come to him so smoothly. It was ridiculous. He was rebounding. He was passing. He didn't have the shot. They were double-teaming him, you know, doing different things. And he just waited and, you know, scored a little bit in the second half, didn't have a big game. But Starks was the one that really, you know, carried them. But Otto Porter, to me, he could very easily, Ray, be player of the year. Just like you always say at Indiana, my boy Victor O. Oladipo and Zeller kind of cancel each other out. Trey Burke had the opportunity to just snatch it, but he, you know, messed up the game yesterday with the shot and free throws and whatever.
That free throw.
That hurt. That really hurt. But I think Otto Porter could wind up being our player of the year.
Well, the thing is, this race is open to, speaking of player of the year, I mean, this race is so wide open. Kelly Olynyk at Gonzaga, right?
Yeah.
Victor Oladipo, Cody Zeller is going to get some votes just because he was preseason player of the year. Otto, and some people just forget. So Otto Porter and Trey Burke and Doug McDermott. I mean, there's so many players, and you could argue you could make a viable case for everybody. Last year, Anthony Davis player of the year, hands down. But
yeah,
you can make a legitimate case for any of these guys.
And also Shane Larkin. Let's not forget number 9 Miami, Shane Larkin. He's had one of those special seasons, along with our boy at Ohio State.
Deshaun Thomas, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, Deshaun
so that's
Thomas,
what I'm saying.
You know,
you've got 6, 7, 8 legitimate players in this race for NCAA, you know, player of the year. So the thing that's to me. Go ahead.
No. I was just going to say, it's so funny when we're talking about the tournament, we're talking about guard play, and I'm just looking at this top 10, and I look at Ohio State, and I see Kraft, and Miami, Shane Larkin, and Michigan, Trey Burke, you know, Kansas, you know, McLemore is, you know, the two guard, but he sort of, like, takes over, you know, Michigan State, they've got their guys. I don't know about Starks, and I guess you got Siva and Russ Smith at Louisville. Yogi, a freshman at Indiana. This is the question I got to ask you. Can you be a little bit concerned that their number one scorer, really, or go-to guy for a basket is Zeller, but they don't always get him to rock, whether he's a lack of aggression on his part or Yogi? I guess, do you trust Yogi?
So it's interesting, though, to make the right decision. Well, it's interesting because at the press conference, your boy, Victor Oladipo, who's you know, as qualified as anybody to be player of the year, my only point was he's going to split votes with his teammates, but you know, he kept saying Zeller should be player of the year. So I don't know if it's trying to appease his ego or trying to pump him up, but the team is kind of rallying around Cody Zeller as their leader and as their player
of the
year.
Because they know they can't be stopped if he's dominant. He's
right.
The difference maker, and they know that. So I think it's smart to say that, you know?
Yeah. So I think that I agree with you that Indiana and Duke, whatever happens, they're 1 and 2. And then Gonzaga's 3 in terms of, you know, overall seeding in the, you know, in the tournament. And I do believe that when it comes down to it, that Indiana and Duke are the two teams, and I put Florida in there as well, that if they're playing on top of their game, they're the better team that night. So if both teams play to their potential and both teams play well, especially if Duke, you know, if Ryan Kelly stays healthy, those teams should win all of their games on a neutral court. Now, anything can happen, and one team can play better than the other team, but those two are sort of, I think Indiana and Duke are sort of a little bit above the rest. Now, that's not to say that there aren't 8, 9, 10 teams with a legitimate shot to win. And, you know, what's interesting is that because there's going to be so many Big East teams and so many Big Ten teams, these teams are going to see each other quite possibly, you know, later on in the tournament. So whether it's rounds 3, 4, 5, so even though you might have a better team, depending on the brackets, you might have a Michigan or a Michigan State or even a Wisconsin or somebody else going up against an Indiana in a regional final or in a Final Four. And
very
when
easily.
Teams know each other and they've played 2, 3 times,
anything
can happen.
Yeah.
You know, and the difference isn't that much, right? It's not like, oh, you've got a UNLV team of 89 going up against people. I mean, these teams are very, very close. And
well, you know what? Indiana could get seeded in Indianapolis, and that's a huge advantage. I got to believe, even if they're playing against Wisconsin or Ohio State, that's a huge home court advantage. That's a huge one.
And you know what? They deserve it.
Yeah. You're right. They do. They do deserve it. You're right. But what about this? Let me ask you, what do you think about this Marquette team, man? That was a huge win in overtime against St. John's, kind of broke St. John's heart. They're 23-7. They tied Georgetown, and congrats to Georgetown and Marquette for the regular season Big East title, the last one, which is kind of unbelievable to say and kind of sad. But Marquette at number 12 in the country, I like that team, Ray. They're a little dangerous. The big guy inside is kind of nice. The guards are stepping up. I think they're peaking. It's funny. All these Big East teams are peaking at the right time. Louisville, Georgetown, and Marquette, they're ready to go, baby.
Well, the good thing is that Marquette is going to have a nice little run. If they're going to make a run in the NCAA tournament, the Big East tournament is going to be great for them as a prelim, right? They've got to play Notre Dame and then Louisville and Georgetown, if the seeds hold, obviously. So they're going to have a nice little tune-up in the Big East tournament. And depending on where they get seeded right now, I mean, they could be anywhere from a 3 seed to, I mean, if they win the Big East tournament, they could be a 2 seed, but they could probably be a 3 or a 4 seed. That's pretty good. So Buzz has got himself a team in Marquette, and we'll see. I mean, I like their team. I like their athletic. Again, Devontae Gardner, that's my guy. If he plays well, that's
Gardner's
a tough
a
team.
Beast. You know, I think it's kind of weird that Notre Dame is still, they got some friends in the rankings.
You're saying
Louisville
football
smacked them
starting
up.
To look like basketball?
They're 23-8. Louisville smacked them up, you know, got the revenge game after the triple overtime loss. Louisville dominated them this time, and they're still in the top 25. They're 24, and I think you could have put in there, I don't know, Colorado State could have moved up. You're looking at St. Mary's, Butler, I don't know, North Carolina. Well, I guess North Carolina lost to Duke, although they beat Maryland this week. I don't know. It's weird to me. Even Wichita State played well. Belmont, Kentucky with the big win was huge. I think they're going to make the tournament now. As long as they can win a game or two in the SEC tournament, I think Kentucky's in. But Notre Dame, they didn't look that impressive to me. As much as I like the versatility of that team, I don't know. I guess they were ranked at 23, and they went from 21 or 23 to 24. That's kind of, I don't know. That's the one I'm kind of bugged out about. But let me ask you this, man. Virginia beat beat Maryland last night. Can my Terps still get in? That's the question. I want to know. Can my Terps still make it? I mean, look, they got to beat Wake Forest. And then in the second round of the ACC tournament, they're going to play Duke if they win. If they beat Duke, they're in.
Oh, for
they
sure.
Don't beat
oh,
Duke.
For sure. If you
they
beat,
don't beat
you know,
Duke,
arguably.
Then they make it.
They have to play a good game at least. Remember, we got 68 teams, so you got a little bit more slack
leeway.
Yeah,
right?
I think a little leeway. I think they have to beat Wake, like you said, and they got to play well against Duke. I think they could still get in without a win against Duke, but they definitely have to play well. We'll see. These tournaments are important now. You know, important to get in, important for seeding. I mean, they always were, but how exciting is it this year where, you know, there's not that much difference from the top 30 at-large teams. So let's go. Let's bring it on.
Yeah, no, you're right. And I think the one thing to look for is momentum. I think we've learned in the last couple of years without having these dominant teams, it's about getting hot. You know, you saw what Kemba did with the Big East tournament.
Oh, God.
And that team, they were not necessarily the best team, but they got hot. Now, Kentucky last year, you know, them and North Carolina were probably the two best teams, but Kentucky definitely, they were pretty hot. I mean, they had to go through a tough Baylor team and some other tough teams, but Kentucky, they were playing, you know, at their peak. Your Florida team, you tend to like the Gators a bit on the sneak, on the low. I'm going to let people know, even though you're a St. John's Tar Heel fan, I kind of hear a little extra love for Billy Donovan. And I got to tell you, losing to Kentucky, even though it was at Kentucky, but losing to Kentucky the way they did, even without Nerlens Noel, that was an ugly loss when you had opportunity to potentially get up there and fight for a number one seed. They could be its number three seed now. That's not pretty.
Yeah,
man.
We'll talk about that later in Champs and Chumps.
That's
but
not pretty.
The thing that I say about Florida is that a little bit inconsistent this year, but the type of game that they play is hard to defend. It's hard to practice and prepare for. So them and Louisville, right, if you get them on the Thursday or the Friday where you have 4 days to prepare, that's one thing. But if you get them on the second day of the back-to-back of the tournament, right, so if you're playing Thursday, Saturday, or Friday, Sunday, and you get them that second day, it's tough to get ready for a team like that that presses and traps and shoots threes and in and out and can guard. You know, they don't really have tweeners, right? They have some big men and they have some guards that can shoot and score. So I'm just saying they're a tough matchup. Inconsistent, but a tough matchup. And when they're playing their best and they're creating turnovers and hitting threes, and of course Billy Donovan has got, you know, two championship experience under his belt. So I'm just saying, Florida's a tough matchup. That's all I'm saying. I'll leave it at that for all those Gator Nation folks out there.
Yeah, no, I feel you. I feel you on that one. They got some skills. They got some skills. So let me ask you about Kansas. Wiffy, first of all, they lost to Baylor. I think they're probably going to be a 2 seed, but McLemore and Wiffy, there's times where, I don't want to say they disappear, more so Wiffy than McLemore, but there's just times where I feel like this team is, Bill Self's a great coach, but I don't know if he's got his sort of, you know, thumb on the meter with these guys. Like, I think that there's something off with this team this year.
Well, you know what?
I could see them getting bounced early. That's all I'm saying.
It's a weird team because their go-to guy and best scorer is a true freshman in Ben McLemore,
yeah,
who may be the number one overall pick in the draft, which is we'll get into that in a couple months. But that's pretty amazing considering that they have a player of the year candidate in Jeff Withey, and they've got Travis Relaford and Elijah Johnson and Young and Tharp, the point guard. So they've got other players around him, and
right,
yet Ben McLemore is their go-to guy. So anytime a freshman is your go-to guy, now, you know, Carmelo won a national championship as a freshman, but the inconsistencies tend to show up. And that's where you think that having seniors and having guys on your team that have been there before and having an experienced coach like Bill Self will help smoothen the road, but it hasn't. I mean, this guy, you know, Bill Self came out, remember a couple weeks ago, he was like, oh, we played worse than, you know, the YMCA, and it was just, wow, that he just killed his team. And having said all of that.
He was like the worst that ate up rough, yeah.
Right, and having said all of that, they're still number 7 in the country, right? They're still, 26-5. So, you know, this team is an enigma. I mean, they're 14-4 in the Big 12. So if you step back and said a team is 26-5 overall, 14-4 in a Big 6 conference, and number 7 in the country, right? Nothing to complain about. Sounds like a good team to me. Sounds like a good year to me. But if you look at the details, you see that this team has been up and down, and they're more talented than that record, you know, or their play should indicate. And again, you got a freshman shooting guard as your leading scorer and your go-to player, you know.
Well, no, and, you know, and that's what I was going to say real quick. I think they really need Elijah Johnson to be consistent and sort of add to that to continue the scoring.
Yeah, he had that unbelievable 41-point game.
I know. He was
a week or so ago.
On fire.
But, yeah, he's been in Bill Self's doghouse for a while, so they need to work that out.
Yeah, they better. They better because I sense, I don't want to call it out, but I smell a little bit of upset, man. So listen, let's take a quick break and let's get ready for the association, Ray and Tay.
We're back, and we're talking NBA, the association.
Hoop it up.
Hey, we got to start with the Heat. I mean,
yeah.
What can you say? 18 in a row? I don't know that I have words. You have words?
Well, the biggest thing that I like about it is the team itself in this streak is shooting over 50%. Forget about, what LeBron had been doing. But even last night, he had, 13-7-6. But they didn't need him. You had Chalmers with the three-pointers at 26 and Bosch and Wade with 24 and 23. They made the Pacers look silly. The Pacers, to me, and of course, I got to say, Granger's out again. But George, he looked not ready. He had 10 points in a big matchup. That was not impressive. I got to say, this Heat team, they go Tuesday night up against Atlanta. They're going to get 19 in a row, and they're going to keep rolling. I can't wait to see later on when in the month they go to play. I think it's the 30th. They go to San Antonio, and I don't know if Tony Parker will be back, but that's going to be nice to see the Spurs and the Heat. Could be a final preview, but right now the Heat are on fire. And when Chalmers is hot and getting better, Norris Cole's getting better, and then you've got Ray Allen and these guys, Battier's been playing lights out lately. Who's going
to let me read to you their games. Let me read to you their upcoming games, and you'll just tell me win or loss, right? Tell me what you think.
Yeah, Atlanta's 19. That's a win.
Atlanta, right. At Philly. Oh, they go five in a row on the road, so that's interesting. With a back-to-back.
Philly's 20.
In there. So they got
Philly's
Philly
20.
At Philly. Then they go Friday night at Milwaukee.
21.
Sunday
at Toronto. That's a tough one,
but
they win it. Toronto, that's going to be questionable, but I think maybe 22.
The back-to-back, although it's a night game, at Boston on Monday night.
Could stop right there.
They
get up for
TV.
Boston, though. You never know.
On national TV. So you got 8 o'clock on national TV against Boston.
Is that a Thursday game?
Monday. That's Sunday night in Toronto, Monday in Boston.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, that could be 23, but I could easily see them losing that one. You know,
but
Boston's
here's the thing,
in the sixth seed right now. Let's just give them some love. Atlanta's dropped to 7. Boston's the sixth seed.
I know. So think about it. They've got Atlanta and Boston who are kind of borderline playoff teams. They'll make the playoffs, but they're not great. And other than that, they're playing Philly, Milwaukee, Toronto, Cleveland, Detroit, Charlotte, Orlando, Chicago, who's a good team, and then New Orleans. And then only on Sunday, March 31st, are they playing at San Antonio at 7.
There you go.
So they've got a stretch here of, what is it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 games before San Antonio where Chicago, Boston, and Atlanta are the three, playoff teams,
playoff
even though they're
team.
Not that strong this year. The rest of the teams are terrible. So even if they
listen,
even
Milwaukee
they lose,
plays them tough, though. So don't sleep on that Milwaukee game, and Toronto's very improved. Those two could be, sleeper games.
They do, but I guess what I'm saying is they've won 18 in a row. Let's add another 10. So they may not win 28 in a row, but they'll be, 26-2.
Right, and they won't catch the
games,
Lakers'
maybe.
Record of 33.
No. But I mean, 26-2 in your last 28 games. I mean, that's pretty impressive.
No, definitely. And listen, we got to talk about. I think in the East, I think the Knicks Kenyon Martin just came to them at the perfect time because losing Amari is a hard hit. They're half a game up on Indiana for the number two spot. I think with Granger being out, I don't know what Indiana's going to do. So, you know, two in the loss column, I think the Knicks might be able to hold on to that for a while. But Amari might not make it back to the playoffs. You know, can be starting to, you know, get back into it, I guess, a little bit. We don't know about Wallace. But this road trip, tonight they're at Golden State. We still got to wait to see if Melo's going to play. But can the Knicks, can they patch it up to stay in the two or three position? Because they don't want to go to that 4-5 and wind up playing Chicago or Boston.
No.
And then second round, you know, if they could make it through, have to play Miami. They want to play Miami in the final round. So they want to stay in the second or third spot. I mean, right now Boston, they're only half a game behind Chicago. So if they get in that 4-5, Boston could beat Brooklyn. Seven-game series, Boston can beat Brooklyn. I think we all know that deep in our hearts. Ricky Rivers, he knows it. Coach E. New, he knows it. That would be a battle. We might have to have Ricky Rivers and Eric Newman, Boston and Brooklyn fans, on our show battling it out if that 4-5 matchup happens with Brooklyn and Boston. That'd be kind of fun.
The battle,
you know,
of the bees, right?
The bees, definitely.
The killer bees, right?
Shout out to them, definitely.
The Miami Dolphins of the 70s, right? And 80s.
So do you think the Knicks will be okay for a while without Amari?
You know, the one thing that I'll give the Knicks credit for, and I've been killing the Knicks for a bunch of reasons because, you know, my expectations are for a championship, right? You know, anytime you have a talent like Carmelo and, you know, Amari of 2 years ago, and you bring along Tyson Chandler and Jason Kidd, you've got championship aspirations. So it's tough love, right? Of course, I'm a Knicks fan. I love the Knicks, and I watch, you know, almost every game that I can catch. But my criticism is about winning a championship. So putting that aside, the one thing the Knicks have always been very good at, even under D'Antoni, but even more under Mike Woodson, is they are very resilient and they adapt very well to changing personnel, right? So even Linsanity, when did Linsanity happen? Well, it happened when he was called into duty and Carmelo went down. And then Amari goes down. And then Carmelo goes down. And you know what I mean? So the Knicks have been very good at playing under adversity. Next man up. So again, not championship level basketball, but certainly winning games. I think they can win games. And you know, J.R. Smith is one of those guys that he'll lose you some games, but he'll win you some games. So J.R. Smith is now taking over that role as kind of the second scorer. And we talked about it. Should he be? And obviously I think with Amari that Amari should be our second scorer. But now that Amari's down, we are hard-pressed for scoring. Right.
And you know what's so funny? We had Ian on the show, and we were talking about that Friday. Well, I heard Ian ask Woodson about that at the press conference. I was like, yes, Ian, we talked about that on Ray and Tay on Friday, baby.
Well, now it's a non-issue because if you think about it, we only have two legitimate scorers on our team, and that's J.R. Smith and Carmelo Anthony right now.
Well,
because
then
everybody
let me ask you
else,
this, though, because Novak had the big game, and like I said, I mean, it's so funny. Remember I said, when's Copeland going to play? I said, Ian, what happened? And he put Copeland in. What did Copeland do? In 7 minutes, scored 12 points. Copeland is going to play on the West Coast trip. Woodson said that. He said that he earned it. He just wants him to play more D. But the reality is, Woody, we got to score. Copeland is that guy. If Novak's not hitting jumpers and Shumpert's, you know, off, you got to have Copeland in there. He can score. And I'm glad that Woodson is waking up to that. But I think it's been a mistake to have him, you know, parked out on the bench. You know,
so
I really think you got to have Copeland.
No, I agree 100%. Now, Woody's a defensive coach, and I love the fact that he coaches defense, right? So it's good to go from D'Antoni's offense-only system to Woody, who is defense first. But I will say this, that it's so important to score for several reasons. Obviously, you got to score more points than the other team to win the game, right? Basic math. But even more on this team, we have to score because Carmelo's doing too much. So we need to take the burden off of Carmelo Anthony, both on the defensive end if we can, and also because obviously, you know, when he plays the four, he's getting beat up a little bit. Where he has the advantage on offense, he's getting beat up on defense. But even more in the fourth quarter, there have been games where he's just been exhausted. And we need to give him a rest so that he can close as well as he plays those first three quarters. And that means
and when he's a dominant scorer,
be...
the other guys stand around. That's the other issue,
yes.
too.
Yeah, we don't get we don't get the movement that we need.
There's no flow.
And so there's no flow. He's a
but
black
Ray,
hole.
Isn't
that, in
that on Felton?
Respect.
To me, it's about Felton. And what Felton did in that game the other night against Utah, he was so aggressive. And he started out so strong, and that's what we need from Ray. Ray needs to set the tone in the first quarter, and I don't care if Melo and Amari are playing. Ray's got to go to the hole. He's got to penetrate, kick it out for threes or whatever. But when Ray's aggressive, we're a different team. He
and
stirs the drink offensively.
But what happened to him? I mean, ever since the injury, he's had a couple of breakthrough games, but for the most part, he hasn't been the same since his injury. I feel like... You know, that's why injuries, you never know. So you talk about Tony Parker. We assume that San Antonio could
back,
just slot
right.
him right in and he'll be back.
But
there's something to be said for flow and continuity and playing together. Even if you know these guys, even if you've been on this team and you've
well,
been teammates for years.
Explosiveness. Will Parker be able to do what he does, and that's penetrate and take it to the basket? If that ankle is jacked up, will he be able to do that?
Yeah, so same thing with
Felton. It's going to be fascinating.
You look at Felton's first half before the injury, and you look at his second half, and you're saying, wait a minute, is this the same guy? It's the same season. So, yeah, so Knicks, look, I think they will hold on. I think they'll find a way to be resilient and hold on to one of those top three seeds and not drop into the four spot. And, you know, they'll be looking ahead to the playoffs. Hopefully Amari can do something in the playoffs, but even if he doesn't, hey, next man up. Next man up.
Well, let's go to the West a little bit. Let's look at this 4-5 battle going on between Memphis and Denver. Memphis is a game and a half up on Denver. This right here is going to be interesting. Let's say the winner winds up playing the Spurs if they can hold on because they're up. Oh, they're only up a game.
Wait, hold on. But you always love these 4-5s because basically what they're doing is they're fighting for home court because they're going to play each other. It's almost guaranteed that this is going to be 4-5. I don't know who's going to be 4. I don't know who's going to be 5. So essentially, that's the irony of a 4-5.
Well, the Clippers could drop, right? They're only one game ahead of Memphis.
They could.
So
they
it's
could.
Actually very close.
Well,
so,
they could, but wait a minute. The Clippers would win their division, though. And by winning the division, they automatically
right.
be the
three
seed.
Okay. All right. That's true. I forgot all about the division, the way they set it up. So Denver, to me, they've got to get the four spot because they're a different team when they're at home. And that home court advantage will mean so much to them. You know, I really think that would make the difference of them getting to the second round. But right now, Gasol and Zach Randolph are playing so good. Conley's on a great run. I don't know if Denver could handle Memphis.
You know, we
love
Memphis.
7-3 in their last 10. But Denver's 9-1. Wow.
We loved Memphis with their Rudy Gay front court. And now we love them, you know, just because they're producing.
Yeah.
I do believe, like they did 2 years ago to San Antonio, I think Memphis can beat anybody. And I think you're right. Memphis can beat Denver, especially if it comes down to a game 7 and that game 7 is in Memphis. So I do think that for Denver to have a shot, they need to have that critical game 7 at home. I don't know if it'll go to a game 7, because, again, I don't think that Denver's formula works in the playoffs. But we'll see. We'll see. Memphis has a go-to guy. I guess, you know, who's that? Zebo is their go-to guy? And Mike Conley will get him the ball.
You better show some respect for my man, baby. Zebo, baby. You better show some love. Can I tell you, how could you not like that? Remember when he was on the Knicks? Oh, man. Zach was the man. I miss Zach Randolph.
But that was the dark days, though. That was that, you know. end of the Isaiah realm, and yeah, Zebo was his talents were wasted in New York, but I'm glad to see him flourishing over in Memphis. Good for him. Love that front court with he and Marc Gasol.
You got to. You really got to. So, well, you know, I think it's about that time, man. I think it's time for us to bring back one of our best segments. It is time for Champs and Chumps of the Sports Weekend. I'm going to let you go first, man. You going positive or you going negative? What's the deal? What are you feeling?
You know what? Let's get the negative out of the way so we can start off, you know, or end the show on a positive note.
Okay.
So you know what? This is my team. I'm a little Jekyll and Hyde-ish on this team, right? Because we just went through about 10 minutes ago talking about how they're an interesting matchup. So my chump of the weekend, the Florida Gators. So all of you guys out there in Gator Nation, you know what I'm talking about. Florida was up against Kentucky without Nerlens Noel. They were up 57-50 with 7.5 minutes to go. Now, granted, it was at Kentucky, but Florida was playing well. They were dominating the game. And Kentucky proceeded to basically win their way into the NCAA tournament with a 19-5 run over the last 7.5 minutes. And if you're trying to be a top, you know, 2 weeks ago, they were on the number one line. Last week, they were on the number two line. They might slip to the number three line depending on what they do in the SEC tournament and maybe even lower, but probably they'll settle in on a three number, maybe four if they lose in the first round. So that's how much of a Jekyll and Hyde team Florida is. But, yeah, you cannot, when you're trying to lock down a number two seed and get some momentum going into the SEC conference championship, you cannot give up a seven-point lead and go and give up a 19-5 run in a critical game. You have your foot on the throat of the opponent, you got to go for it. You got to take them out. You got to show that you're the better team. But that's what happens when you have a predominantly jump shooting team and you can't get easy buckets. So easy buckets into the big men, at least you get to the foul line. At least you get fouled. Now Michigan last night, or yesterday, you know, missed two front ends of one and ones, but I can live with that. I can live with missed free throws because usually you hit those, and they're easier shots than contested jumpers and contested threes. But, yeah, Florida, Jekyll and Hyde team, my chump of the week for giving up a 19-5 run in a critical March game against an undermanned Kentucky Wildcat team.
Mm. I'm going to chump it up, too. This team looked like they were going to be the crown jewel of the Big East. They started off their season 18-1. They're ranked number 19 in the country. They are the Syracuse Orangemen. They are now 23-8. So that's 5-7 in their last 12. What they did this weekend to earn the title of my chumps was disgusting. They shot 39% from the field. Georgetown put it on them in every way possible. Fair, Trish, Sutherland, Carter Williams, these guys cannot hit a jump shot. I mean, when you score 39 points, and you're shooting, you know, in the 20% for the first half. They were shooting like 29% in the first half of the game. Jeremy Grant, nobody's stepping up for them. Nobody's playing ball. Daquan Coleman can't even get on the floor to help them out. Sutherland, who's come back, and he's been up and down like a yo-yo, I mean, he's having a bad season, you know, right now in terms of just trying to help the team. I mean, he's got 13 points a game, but nobody's stepping up. Nobody's standing out. I mean, you've got a couple of guys, and Fair leads the team in scoring, but when you need to step up, they're not doing it. Right now, I think Syracuse is on their way to becoming probably, I hate to say it, a four, maybe a five seed. I think Syracuse is going to be a five seed in the tournament. because they're going to go with their momentum. Unless they can turn it around in the Big East tournament, which I just don't see them doing, a five seed, and then can they wake up? Can they get Trish and Fair? Can Carter Williams stop turning the ball over? You know, he's scoring 12.5 a game, but, you know, he's given you so many turnovers. And you're at a place with him where, you know, he's 27%, you know. I mean, from three-point range, that's ridiculous. And he chucks him up, you know.
He's a freshman.
Shooting. Yeah, he's a freshman, but, you know, you can't take all these, you know, shots. And he's 39% from the field. You know, his free throws aren't bad.
39 is the magic number.
Yeah, 39
is the magic number, right?
It is the magic number, and it's ridiculous because
they scored 39 against Georgetown. Isn't that? I think that was Boeheim's lowest point production since he's been at Syracuse, right? Is that right?
I think it is, but also what makes it bad is that teams are zoning them like they lease the zone teams. So anyway, they basically got handled to, you know, got the Big East last game handed to them playing against the Hoyas. And so, Syracuse Orangemen, you better wake up, because right now you are Tay's chumps of the week.
The only good thing I can say for both your chump and my chump is they have their conference championship and the NCAA tournament championship to turn it around. But
yeah, to wake up. Well, maybe they
wake
hear
up.
Us. This is, you know.
It's a wake-up call. Let's go, Ray,
call.
And say wake-up call. I tell you who was sleeping. They were sleeping all year, but they woke up in their tournament is Liberty. And they are my champs of the weekend. They end the season at 15-20, but they win the Big South tournament.
Wow.
And they beat Charleston Southern, and they're going to the dance.
Yeah,
Liberty,
so
you don't,
yeah.
You
are they
don't know about. I don't know what
are they Harlem
do.
Shaking
That's,
it. I think they're Harlem that, shaking it. I need to see a video of Liberty Harlem shaking it.
That's the
I'm
Liberty Flames. You don't know about the Liberty Flames, who started out the season 0-8, and even winning their tournament.
Yeah.
They finish up 15-20. They're still not 500.
It's kind of crazy, right?
Like Florida, like we told Florida and Syracuse, they need to wake up. The Liberty Flames woke up.
They have awakened.
And they are tying the 2008 Coppin State squad for the most losses, 20, entering the tournament. Now, some would argue, oh, they shouldn't be in the tournament, and it's not fair, and they're not one of the top 68 teams in the country.
Whatever.
And you know what? That's probably right, but they earned it. You know what? The rules are you win your tournament, you're in. And they went out there, and even though they didn't have a great season, they won their Big South Conference tournament, and they deserve to be in it. So, champ of the weekend from Ray, Liberty. My new team, the Liberty Flames. They're going to be a 16 seed.
You like that name.
Or maybe even play in the playing game. But, yeah, that's my squad, Liberty. I'm down
all
Liberty.
All right. We press for time. So, look, for me, my champs, I'm going to the City of Angels. 33-31, the eighth seed. My man, Black Mamba, as I like to call him, Kobias. Not only did they win yesterday, but Friday night, 41 points. Kobe beating Toronto in overtime at home. It was ridiculous. Lakers on a roll. They are definitely my champs. I think what's incredible is that Utah's done. They're dead. The Lakers are, you know, I mean, they're just playing ball. They're 8-2 in their last 10. They're 11-20 now on the road, 22-11 at home. They're hot. My man Dwight Howard, 21 rebounds, 16 points yesterday. Kobe, you know, didn't even have to go crazy, but he had like 19, 6, and 7, had a quiet, like kind of LeBron game. Steve Nash is scoring. Everybody's waking up playing. Gasol might get back. Looks like even the coach is making some coaches moves that look, you know, kind of like impressive. They're only a game behind the Rockets.
Right. So
let's keep it real.
Let me ask you this. So given their champ status of the weekend, are the Lakers going to finish 6th, 7th, 8th, or 9th in the Western Conference?
Oh, I told you they're making the playoffs. I told you that a month ago. I said the Jazz would be gone. Right now, they're only 2 games out of 6. I think the Lakers will be somewhere in there. They're going to be 6, 7, or 8. I can't tell you where. I'm not sure. I'll go for 8.
No,
I'll go for 8. I think Golden State
8?
Will wake it up.
Okay.
I think Houston could pass Golden State. So, but it's going to be a great finish. I just think the Lakers are going to be able to beat the Spurs if they play them in the first round. That's my bold pick. And or the Clippers. So we had a great show.
Well, we had another great show.
We're back Friday early. They were going to have to rock like 8 a.m. on the East Coast. I mean, on the West Coast at 11 o'clock Eastern on the East Side. And, you know, we'll tell you all the free agency, everything, basically. And,
thanks for spending time with us. We had a great time.
Yeah. Talking sports with friends. Ray and Tay. We're out.